Hello and welcome. I want to thank you for joining. With me today, my name is Timothy Omerod, the minister of Six Mile Cross, a Free Presbyterian Church. I want to invite you to spend this time with us as we study God's Word together. I want to read the words of Psalm number 3 and want to even spend our time looking at this Psalm this morning. The Psalm number 3, it's entitled A Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. The word of God says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? And many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, and save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, and thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord, and thy blessing is upon thy people. Selah. Amen. I want to direct your attention primarily to the verses 4 and 5. We're going to look at the psalm as a whole, but the verses 4 and 5 where it says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. And what I really want to think with you this morning is about committing ourselves into the Lord's hands. Augustus Toplady, the hymn writer, he wrote these words, A sovereign protector I have, unseen yet forever at hand, unchangeably faithful to save, almighty to rule and command. He smiles and my comforts abound, his grace as a dew shall descend, and walls of salvation surround, and the soul he delights to defend. In Psalm 3, whenever we come to it, it is the first psalm which carries the name of David as its author. Psalm 1, we do not know who the author is, and Psalm 2, we don't actually find out the author until we come to the book of Acts, chapter 4 and the 25, where we find out that the author was in fact David. But as I said, Psalm 3, it actually carries the name of David, and it also tells us the circumstances that he finds himself in at that time. Absalom, his son, has taken over the kingdom and the throne from his father, and David is now on the run. He's running for his life. And if you look up 2 Samuel, the chapters 15 to 18, it gives us the full details of what was happening at that time. And so David, as he pens this psalm under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he really lifts his heart unto the Lord. He begins the psalm by holding up his hands in honesty to the Lord. Remember, David, he was the king of Israel. He had control of everything. He was the one who had an army to protect him. He had a government to serve him. He had people to work for him. He had everything he needed. He had all of the wealth. He had all of the money, the riches. He had defeated his enemies. He was a great, strong, popular king. But yet, things were to change so suddenly for him. Up until that point, I'm sure he believed that his future was secure. He would see out his days. Upon the throne, he would be ruling over his people. Everything would be, see if everything would be going well. But yet, in an instant, everything changed. In just a matter of days, in a matter of hours, everything in his life would be completely transformed. And yes, as we read those chapters in 2 Samuel 15 and onwards, we realize that Absalom has been busy for a long time. He had worked behind the scenes, changing the minds and the hearts of the people. But the actual fall of David's empire at that time was very swift. David had no idea that Absalom was doing these things behind his back. He had no idea that the people's hearts were being changed. And in a very, very short space of time, his entire world was dramatically changed. In the verse 1 of the Psalm 3, where it says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me, and many are they that rise up against me. In reality, David is simply confessing to the Lord that he is helpless. Even though he had a kingdom of many years, with plenty of effort, plenty of experience put into it, and all of that strengthening of it, the bonds, the ties that were there, the great army that served him, and yet it crumbles so quickly. And surely we have seen that around the world even over these last number of weeks. Men and women's careers, their livelihoods, have disappeared so quickly. Economies have grounded to a halt. The great economies of this world, the great banks and businesses of this world that have been so popular, so strong over the years. And yet, because of this virus, they've just come to a complete standstill. Schools are closed. Churches are closed. All the social activities have been cancelled. And like David, we have to be honest. We have to confess that we are powerless ourselves to stop what is going on. We are powerless ourselves to change anything. We can't do anything of ourselves that is going to just where we can click our fingers, as it were, and make everything disappear and come back to normal. That's simply not possible. And we need to accept this, that we need the help of the Lord. We need the Lord's intervention at this time. We can't fix our world. We cannot fix and take away this virus. We can't get all of the economies up and running ourselves. We need the intervention of the Lord for everything that is going on at this time. And just like Peter cried out there in Matthew 14 and the verse 30, you think of it, Peter was walking, he had faith. He was walking towards the Lord in the water, but yet when he took his eyes off the Lord, it tells us he began to sink. And he was drowning on his own. And he realized, I can't get up out of these waves. And so he looked to the Lord with honesty and he cried out, Lord, save me. You know, verse 2, it reminds us in this psalm that our lives are testimonies before men and women. The verse 2, it says, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. And I want this verse even to remind us this morning that our lives, each one that is saved, our lives are testimonies before everyone in our families and in our communities. These Israelite people, they looked at their king. They looked at David and his day and everything that had changed. And the first thing that they saw in David at that time was fear. The first thing that they saw in David was defeat. David was there. Absalom had raised up this army. He had put together all of these things behind the scenes. And when he came to take over the throne, David was terrified. And David ran. And remember, this is the same man. David is the same king. He is the same person that we read about in 1 Samuel 17 who stood against the great giant Goliath. He is the one who had that boldness at that time, that courage at that time, that he was willing to go and to fight against this great giant, this great enemy of Israel, the great enemy of God at that time. He was willing to go and stand against him just with a sling and five stones and a stick. And after he had defeated Goliath, what did the people cry out and sing about him? They said, David hath slain his 10,000. They saw a man at that time in his younger days, a man who was full of courage, a man who was full of spiritual boldness, that he was willing to stand and he had no fear. But now David is king. Absalom has risen up against him. And they look upon David, that man that was full of strength at one time, that man that was full of confidence at one time, and they can see your strength is gone, your faith is gone, you're full of fear, you've no courage, you look like a defeated man. And they come to the conclusion, God must have left him. God must have abandoned this man, David. That's why he's now full of fear. But remember this, Christ promised in Joshua 1 in the verse 5, he said, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So the Lord Jesus Christ never left David. And if the Lord Jesus never left David, then surely it's the case that David had taken his eyes off the Lord. Surely he had forgotten that the Lord was there with him and that the Lord was there for him. And I wonder today, with everything that's going on in our world, are you looking to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your confidence in him today? Yes, things are going on and we don't know what is around the corner. But as we go out and about, and the various people that are out, and there's much panic, there's much fear in the community today. But is there a difference between the Christian and the people of the world? Whenever people see us, do they see someone that is terrified? Do they see someone that is full of fear? Or do they see someone that is trusting in the Lord for everything? You know, we have seen, no doubt, videos, and you've seen different people, and you've maybe heard it. And sadly, there are many today that are stockpiling, they're filling their garages, they're filling their homes with great supplies of food, and there's great fear upon them. They think that the end is in sight for some. They think that they need all of this food because there's going to be a complete breakdown and there's going to be absolutely nothing, and they're running about in mad fear. But the Christian ought not to fear or to panic. You think of the words of the hymn, it says, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest thing, but wholly cling to Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." And the world can, and the world will panic. But the Christian ought to be different. The Christian ought to stand out from the panic of the world, and ought to be able to state clearly, and be able to show, and their testimony to be, that our confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We still believe that he is in control. We still believe that he is the great God of heaven and of earth, and all things are in his control. And I believe then, when we come to this verse 2 of the Psalm 3, I believe verse 2 really challenges David. Because whenever he considers what men are seeing and saying about him, he looks at himself, he looks at his heart, and he realizes that he is not what he should be, and he is not where he should be in terms of his walk with the Lord Jesus. And then we come to the verse 3, and it starts with the word "but." And what a change there is within him. And it's as if he's really been shaken, and he's come to grips with himself, and he's realized what he's doing. He hadn't been looking to the Lord Jesus. He hadn't been trusting in the Lord. And he's brought to his senses, and he realizes who the Lord is and what the Lord Jesus is for the Christian. Because he begins in verse 3, he says, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me." And the Lord is his shield, or his buckler, as it can be translated as well. And what that word simply brings to us, the thought that word of, when it says that it's a shield, what he's saying is, it's that protection. And it's a protection that completely surrounds the person. In other words, it's not just in the front, but the protection is behind, it's above, it's below. As Deuteronomy 33 and 27, it says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." So regardless of what may come against the child of God, whether spiritual or physical, they have the Lord Jesus watching over them. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that a Christian never gets sick. It doesn't mean that a Christian never gets put in harm's way. But nothing will ever happen to a Christian outside of God's will or outside of God's control. That ought to be a great encouragement to every child of God today. That to all of us, even as it was for David in those days, he was able to say that the Lord lifted up his head. The Lord lifted him up. He encouraged him. He found his encouragement in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that no longer was David's head hanging in defeat. No longer was David running away fearful for his life. Rather, he trusted the Lord. He sought that protection in the Lord. And he was confident in the Lord. Then we come to the verses 4 and 5. In the verse 4 it says, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah." And so whenever David has considered who the Lord is, then David then turns to him in prayer. And David cries unto him, and it says, "I cried unto him with my voice." In other words, he prayed out loud. He prayed audibly. He didn't just pray into his heart. He prayed audibly. He prayed unashamedly. He commits himself, and he commits his present situation into God's hands. He pours his heart out. He casts all of his care upon the Lord, knowing that the Lord cared for him. And he had confidence that his prayer was heard in heaven. Now that's something that only a child of God can say. Interesting words are found in John chapter 9. The verse 31, it says, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth." You see, it's only those that are saved. It's only those that are washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ are able to be heard in heaven. It is only the Christian that is a child of God, that has given their heart, their life to the Lord Jesus, that we have that acceptance before the throne of grace in heaven. That is completely and solely not because of who we are, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ. For first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, he died upon the cross. He shed his precious blood. He atoned for the sins. In other words, he paid the debt that was due for the sins of his people. And then he rose from the dead. He ascended up into heaven, and it tells us he sits at the right hand of God the Father to make intercession for us. The words of Romans 8 and the verse 34 says, "It is Christ that died, yea, that rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." And David knew this. He knew he was saved, and he knew that he was a child of God, and that Christ presented his prayers, therefore, to God the Father. And I wonder today, do you know that you are saved? Can you remember that time in your life? Have you that assurance of that time in your life when you asked the Lord, you turned from your sins, and you asked the Lord to save you? You asked the Lord to wash away your sins and to forgive you and to save you forevermore. Verse 5, as we come to it in the psalm, it is a wonderful picture of a man whose trust is in the Lord. It says, "I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me." You know, he had prayed. David had cast all of his care upon the Lord. Everything that was going on at that time, the attack that was coming against him, the uprising that there had been, everything. David just poured his whole heart out onto the Lord. And then it tells us he was able to lie down and sleep. You see, when he cast his care upon the Lord, he left it there. He didn't pray to the Lord and then take all of his burdens back with him. When he took them to the Lord, he cried unto the Lord, he cast his care upon the Lord, and then he left it with the Lord. And so all of his burdens, all of his stresses was upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And that meant that he could lie down and he could sleep. It wasn't the case that he tossed and turned. It wasn't the case that he couldn't sleep. It wasn't the case that he lay down and his mind was racing and he was going over all of the different scenarios full of worry and wonderment of what was going to come the next day. No, it tells us he had peace. And you think as well in Acts chapter 12 of Peter. And Peter is there in prison and he's going to be killed the next day. And the judgment has been put down by the king, by Herod, at that time, that Peter was going to be executed the next day. And yet it tells us, what was he doing the night before? He was sleeping. You see, he had cast his care upon the Lord. He had confidence that the Lord was in control. And he was willing to leave it all there. And David had peace. Even there, as he cried unto the Lord, and then as he lay down, he slept. Because there was peace in his mind. And there was peace in his heart. First of all, because he had peace with God. He had a peace which would and had been purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross. You think of the Lord's title, he is the Prince of Peace. The Lord Jesus Christ, he purchased our peace with God. And then not only did he have peace with God, but he also had peace about his current situation. Even though his life was in danger, even though his enemy was great, yet he knew he was safe. And today we are facing a great enemy. That enemy of this virus, this sickness that is going about, it has taken many lives across the world. And it's too great an enemy for us. But each one of us, we can cast our care upon the Lord. We can bring it to the Lord in prayer and we can leave it with him. And we can trust him that he will take care of it. You see, no enemy is greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no virus, there's no evil attack, there's no government, there's no dictator, there is nothing that is greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's important for us to remember today. That's important for us to remember in the days that lie ahead, that God is infinitely stronger and God is infinitely greater and more powerful than anything in this world. And you can see that spiritual confidence is back in David even after his sleep. It tells us he awaked and he remembers and he can acknowledge, the Lord has sustained me. And as he then moves into the verse 6, the spiritual confidence is back into David. Because he says, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people. You remember that song we mentioned earlier that they used to sing of David? David have slain his 10,000s. And David, once again, that joy, that courage, that confidence that he has in the Lord Jesus, it's back within his heart. It's back within his mind. And he's able to say, and his faith is strong once again, he is saying, I'm not afraid of 10,000s of people. I'm not afraid if a whole great army comes against me. Because I don't worry about what an army can do to my body, because my confidence is in the Lord. My courage is found in the Lord. And I know that the Lord will sustain me no matter what comes. You know, the verse 7 of the Psalm, it's a timely prayer for us all, even today. David, he says, arise, O Lord, and save me, O my God. And oh, that the Lord would truly arise in our day. Oh, that the Lord would arise, first of all, and deal with the sin in our land and even across the world. And that he would deal with the wickedness that is found even within society. And that the Lord, first of all, would send a gracious revival to his church. That the Lord would awaken his people. That the Lord would cause us to be on our knees in prayer once again, looking and trusting completely in him. And then that the first as well, that the Lord would send our nation, the nation of Great Britain, the nation of Northern Ireland that we are, the country as a whole, even down into the south and right across the world, that a glorious spiritual awakening would come once again. That men and women, regardless of their background, regardless of their religion, regardless of whatever they've believed in the past, that they would realize that there is a God who is in control. And there is a God who is holy. And there is a God who they must turn to. And they must turn away from their sins. And they must put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And then, as we've prayed that the Lord would arise, we pray as well that the Lord would bless his people once again. Verse 8, it highlights the wonderful truth, salvation belongeth unto the Lord, and thy blessing is upon thy people. All of salvation belongs to the Lord. That includes physical salvation from this virus. We cannot save ourselves. And yes, there are many men and women across the world that are seeking to bring about a cure, a vaccine. But that will only come if the Lord allows it and if the Lord shows them what that vaccine is to be. Physical salvation for us today, just as it was for David, we look to the Lord for salvation. But not only for the physical, but spiritual salvation belongs unto the Lord. There is no one in this world that can save themselves. There is no one, doesn't matter of color, class or creed, there is no one anywhere in this world that can save themselves from their sins. Salvation is completely of the Lord. That's what Jonah had to testify at the end of chapter 2 in the book of Jonah. He said as well, salvation is of the Lord. And therefore, I encourage each one. We need to come. If you haven't done already, you need to come and seek that forgiveness of your sins. Repent of your sins. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and put your faith and trust in him. Let me encourage each one, even at this time. If you're saved, let me encourage you to keep looking to the Lord, to keep trusting in him, to pour out your heart unto him in prayer, and to leave all of your cares upon him, because then you'll be able to lie down and sleep. You'll be able to have that confidence and to rest completely in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, then we encourage you even at this time, as you look around and you see the world in the state that it's in, then we encourage you to turn away from the world, to turn away even from self, and to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you very much for listening and for spending this time with us. We're going to have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank and praise thee for thy precious word. We thank thee, O God, for the encouragement that we can find as thy children even in it, that thou art the one who is in control of all things. We thank thee even that David at that time, he was able to realize and he was able to cry unto thee and he was able to cast all of his care upon thee. Lord, we just pray in these days that each one that is saved, that they will know what it is to cast all of their care upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us at this time. Lord, remember our nation as a whole. We do pray that many men and women, even through this time of uncertainty, that they will turn and that they will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be with each one, we pray thee. Bless us. Remember all of our nation. We think of those in the medical services. We just pray that thou will keep thy hand upon them. Thou wilt lead them and guide them. We pray as well for our government, Lord, that thou wilt give them wisdom and that they will know even what it is to turn to the Lord themselves. Lord, bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much for watching, and I trust and pray that the Lord will bless each one in the days that lie ahead. God bless.